You are the exciting God. You're the delightful God. You're the magnificent one. You're beautiful. You are awesome. You are absolutely brilliant. You are worthy to be worshipped, worthy to know, worthy to have in our lives. You are the King of the ages, the ancient one. You are the magnificent one. You are all powerful, all righteous, all knowing, all good, all beautiful, all wonderful, Lord. You never sleep. You never sleep. You're unchanging. And we bless you. We thank you for the grace that we have to know you, to be called by your name. We thank you because you demonstrated your love to us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. We thank you because you have given us the hope of a fantastic future. Lord, where we will sit with you and reign with you eternally. We're grateful, Lord, that you are our Father. And that, Lord, we can sit on your lap, each and every one of us. We can behold your face. We can caress your face. We can touch you. And Lord, we can feel your heartbeat. We're thankful that we're your children. Lord, we belong to you, each and every one of us. Lord, we thank you because in spite of us, you do wonders in our lives. We give you praise. We give you praise. We thank you that even for those who are mourning amongst us, Lord, we know that they have a tomorrow, Lord, where we will all meet again. Because for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. We always win. We always win. So we thank you. We bless you, Father, for the things you do in our lives, the things we see and the things we do not see. Lord, we thank you for the accidents that you made our sister to escape and many of us. But importantly, we thank you for those ones that we do not see because you never sleep. You never tire. You never retire. Lord, we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you. It's really good to be back with us today. Can you see my screen?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
Okay, brilliant. So,
yeah.
Uh-huh. So first, I want to appreciate God for the privilege we have to see the end of the month and to come together. As Reverend Agbelusi said, it's nice to be able to link up with some my family that are just 6 minutes away from where we live via America. So we thank God to see the Agbelusi. It was really nice to see Grandma Ned. I think I saw her, again, I don't want to name names, but it's really nice to see many other people, families across the Atlantic, and to be able to share God's word together. And I'm thankful to God for what he's doing in your midst. You have a beautiful family in Maryland Church. You've always been supportive of one another, and I can see that all the time. I really cherish the fellowship that you all have together. And we thank God for what God is doing. Today, we're going to look at the same scripture that we looked at last week, and it's Acts chapter 1. So if you have your Bible, please read. And the reason for that is very simple. I like to ask people to read the Bible whenever we meet like this. And I actually appreciate that as part of your church program, every Sunday there is a Bible reading. And the reason I'm saying that is this. Each time you're reading the Bible, God is talking to you. Every time we read the Bible, God is speaking to us. So none of us can say God has never spoken to them before. Because every time we read the Bible, God is speaking. Someone said, okay, can you hear me? Oh dear.
Yes, we can.
Yes, we can. Okay.
Okay, thank you. Okay, I think someone is trying to talk at the same time, is it? Or the internet is spotty?
Yeah.
Don't worry, brother. Brother, okay. I think Brother Femi is tuning in from Nigeria.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay, so, yeah, someone said that God has a mouth. That if you read the whole of okay. Should we wait for Nigeria to join first?
Let's see.
I think we should be fine now. Yeah,
we're fine now.
Okay. See, you know, when Nigeria joins anything, there's always something about Nigeria. That's, I like the swagger of Nigeria. We just have to. Yes, so I was saying, God. Someone said God has a mouth. So it's not just us that likes to talk. In fact, maybe we should be doing less talking and listen more to God. Because God wants to speak to us each time. And that's why I said it's good for us to read the Bible together, because every time we read the Bible, God is talking to us. And what I'm going to try and do today, I know I have about 30 or so minutes, or I think Pastor said 45. What I'm going to try and do is to speak for about half of that. And please do let me know, because I talk a lot. That's one of the things that God's grace is still sufficient for me about. I want us to use the other half of the time to have like a little workshop, just to share things together. And I've not forgotten what I said we should do last week. So if you haven't done the assignment, I know you might have been praying that I'll forget, but I pray too, so I won't forget. All of us, we pray. Prayer is fighting prayer. So hey, I won't forget. Uh-huh. So the first half, I will talk. The second half, we will share. Some of the things you have done over the last 1 week, the challenge that I posed was, we will share together. So here, Jesus spoke in Acts chapter 1, verse 7. He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And Jesus said this just before he ascended, as we discussed last week, when his disciples asked him, "When are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" And as we looked at together last week, we said Jesus was saying here, focus on what is important. I know you have a very focused church. And I know your work, New Covenant Church Maryland, but I'm going to act like Oliver Twist today. I'm going to ask for more, because I feel Jesus is asking us for more. Jesus said here, when the disciples were asking, "When are you going to restore the kingdom back to Israel?" Jesus appended their question. He says, "It is not for you to wait. Don't waste time on certain things that are not important. Focus on what is important. What is important is this: you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." And we established together last week that the key word there is "my witness," mine. Not to be the witnesses of New Covenant Church. The key word is "mine." And this is where a lot of us struggle, because we think we're supposed to represent our church. We think we're supposed to represent a ministry. But Jesus said, "You will be my witnesses." And we established last week that there's built-in power in the gospel every time you share about Jesus. In fact, just read it, my brothers and sisters. When you look at when the Holy Spirit came and Peter and Co were talking about the Lord Jesus, look at chapter 2, when they started talking about and preaching. Chapter 2, all they were doing was just talking about Jesus. You know, this Jesus that you crucified, he was the one that came from God. He was this, and it's like a story. But each time they begin to talk about the Lord, power will come. People will be cut to their hearts. and they receive salvation. There's built-in power when you preach the gospel. And whichever way you do it, my brothers and sisters, it might just be walking alongside somebody, as the church has walked alongside Sister Jackie today. She was saying to us earlier today that people in Africa were saying, which type of church is this? There's built-in power. Whichever way you are the good news to somebody, the Holy Spirit comes in, because that's the work of the Holy Spirit. We established that last week. That is why we are unstoppable. When we preach, we are unstoppable. When we do the work of God, we are unstoppable. We also looked at last week, how do we do this? Jesus said, you'll be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem. And we said to us, each and every one of us, start in your Jerusalem. Start in your home. There are people here who are listening to me now, including myself. There are family members who are not believers yet. And don't worry about the fact that they go to church. So don't let us be deluded by it. Let me give you my testimony. 24 years of my life, I was a church goer. I attended service in church more than once a week. I knew how to read the Bible. In fact, you know where the obscure prophets like Obadiah, Haggai, Nahum, if they say open the Bible now, open before you say Jack Robinson, I'm at Nahum. And I will fast as well. Lent period. We will fast because my father was fasting. I will fast. And on Good Friday, I will say, oh, Jesus is suffering. I must suffer too. I was not, my eyes were not open there, that I did not have to suffer anymore because Jesus has suffered once and for all. But then we would think on Good Friday, we would suffer. We'll be in the sun in one Orioke somewhere. And I played the drums. I'm not as good as Pastor Bumi on the piano. You know, he's a very lucky man. He's married to a doctor and he plays the piano very well. And I'm really jealous of him, but God will forgive me for that. I'll play the drums in church. I'll fast. I knew how to get to the obscure prophets in the Bible. But for those 24 years of my life, I did not know Jesus. And the worst part of it was that I did not know Jesus. So please, I'm saying to us, there are family members who may go to church, but who may not know Jesus, who may be deluded like I was for 24 years when I did not know Jesus, and I did not know that I did not know Jesus. The Bible, Jesus is saying to us, start from your Jerusalem. I want to challenge us, my brothers and sisters, that today should be the day of salvation for somebody in your family. Whichever way, God will give you creative abilities to speak to them. Don't let them die without knowing Jesus. It's our responsibility. Some of these people may be our fathers, they may be our mothers, they may be our spouses, they may be our children, they may be our brothers and sisters, they may be our cousins, and they may go to church. They may even be pastoring a church, especially if they are pastoring in Nigeria. Don't be deluded. They may not know Jesus. I'm saying Jesus gave us. I said, my firm belief is that Jesus is one of the greatest people in terms of, he's the best project manager ever. He knew what he wanted to do. He just kept doing what he wanted to do, and he has a strategy for it. So he says, you receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you be my witnesses. And he told us where we will be his witnesses. Start in your Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, and then to the ends of the earth. And I'm challenging us today. Please don't just listen to the voice of my, to my voice. Start today. Start. And the reason for that is simple. If I ask us, how did you become a Christian? So look at me. 24 years, did not know Jesus, did not know that I did not know Jesus. Somebody spoke to me. Somebody preached to me. And the scale fell off. And all of us, we could see, whether it's Brother Kunle, Brother Aloja, Reverend Agbelusi, Sister Buki Adenuga, whether it's Sister Tola Obasanya, whether it's Sister Bejide, Sister Kemi, who sang so beautifully well to us and led us in worship. One day, somebody spoke to you about the gospel. That's why we are where we are today. That's why we can give a testimony. That's why some of us can preach. That's why some of us can lead people in worship. That's why some of us can lead the service. Someone someday did speak to you, and you committed your life to Christ. Do you don't want to another person to have that same opportunity? Somebody did. It could be your spouse. It could be when you got married. That okay, your husband, your wife now started dragging you to the extent that you committed your life to Christ. It could be somebody gave you a tract one day at uni, but somebody did. And that's why you're unstoppable today. I'm saying, my brothers and sisters, it is time we begin to do the same thing. So that's what we did last week. Very quickly, let's just look at why it is critical. And I have about 4 points. Why it is critical to be a witness. The first one is that the way to salvation is the name of Jesus. That's it. It's as simple as that. The Bible says, Acts chapter 4, verse 12, there is no other name given under heaven by which men, it said, or human beings can be saved except the name of Jesus. No other name. That is why it is critical, my brother, to be a witness. And you know that name. Hey! Sometimes I feel we don't really understand what we have. When, again, let's go back to Acts chapter 2, when Peter was speaking, all he was doing was talking about Jesus. All he was doing. 2 verse 37, it says, now when they heard this, they were cut to their heart. And said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Kilamashe, if it's my language. What shall we do? But if you look at it, and I want you, my brothers and sisters, to see what we have. All that Peter did was to history. It was a history lesson. That's all he was talking about. He was just talking about how God, from the foundation, you know, our fathers, Abraham, did this and that. And God sent his son, Jesus came, and they crucified him. It was just a story. But the name of Jesus is powerful. There's no other name given under the heavens by which human beings could be saved except the name of Jesus. When people hear the name of Jesus, you may think you have nothing. The little you have, when you share it, men and women will be cut into their hearts. Why have you ever seen men crying, grown-up men, because they heard the gospel and they just realized how sinful, how they have been, and how much God has loved them? That is why it is critical to be a witness. In Acts chapter 1, verse 16, it's Romans 1, verse 16. It's not Acts chapter 4. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. So forget what I wrote there. It's not Acts. It's Romans 1, 16. It says, the Bible says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God that brings salvation. It is the power of God. The gospel is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes. So the gospel is good news. And it is powerful when we share the gospel. And in the second half, when we share together, I want us to be thinking, what are the creative ways of sharing this gospel in the 21st century? We need to look at that. So it says, it's the power of God that brings salvation. So that's why it might sound as if it was in the gospel, but you see. So it is critical to be a witness because there's one name under heaven by which men must be saved. And we have that name. You have that name, my brothers and sisters. It is the name of Jesus. I was speaking to some people, was it last week? I said, we're looking at Mark chapter 1 and how John the Baptist was at the wilderness, in the wilderness, and he wore a camel's clothing, and he ate wild honey and locusts, and he was weird, very weird. But I was saying to the people that I was speaking, I said, everyone needs to define their space, because John the Baptist defined this. I'm sure if I had come eating wild locust to us today and honey and water, you probably think, okay, this guy is crazy. So, but we don't all have to follow John the Baptist, but you must define your own space to share the gospel. And all John the Baptist was doing, he was talking about making straight the path of the Lord. That's what he came to do. That was, he defined his own space. Your own space, every one of us, we have the same mandate to make hearts to be prepared for Jesus. We have the same debate. You can define yours. You can define how you share the gospel. Your testimony. There's a brother I know in England, Brother Solution. That's not his name, but his name is, I don't even know his name. He calls himself Solution, Brother Oji. His surname is Oji, but he calls himself Solution. He's not a young man, he's in his 60s. Whenever you see him, he wears a badge. I don't know whether you can see me around what I'm doing around my, he always wears a suit. And he will have this massive, funny badge here. I used to be a smoker. I stopped smoking. Ask me how. Massive badge. You can't, anywhere it goes. I'm a smoker. I stopped smoking. Ask me how. And if you mistakenly ask him how, you are done for. You will be born again before you leave. Because he would do it. He would tell you how he took cocaine, how he wanted to kill himself at the time, and Jesus rescued him. He would tell you the whole story. So I'm challenging my brothers and sisters. You define your own space. Define yours. But be a witness, because the name of Jesus is powerful. So if you have never smoked before, I'm not saying go and have a badge. You may not use a badge. You may talk about how you met your wife when she was reading to you and you were listening, and you now know this is the woman that God wants you to marry. The people that are concerned, they will know what I'm talking about. That may be your story. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, ask me later. I'll tell you. But we must define our space. The name of Jesus is powerful. We must be creative about it. Number two, why it is critical to be a witness. Moved. Internet, Abby. PowerPoint, move. Uh-huh. Why it is critical to be a witness is the emphasis of Jesus on doing. And I want to beg us. I really want to beg. If you want me to prostrate, I will do so. There's a serious, every time Jesus will say, consider the way you hear. Because in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, Jesus hasn't preached, you know, the Beatitudes from Matthew chapter 5. He preached that message throughout the whole of chapter 6, preached it in chapter 7, and towards the end of chapter 7, Jesus now said, whoever hears this word of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise builder. It's like a wise builder. Builds his house on a solid foundation. So when the wind came, when the Hurricane Katrina and all the hurricanes that you have in America came, none of them could withstand. There's always an emphasis on doing. In Mark chapter 4, verse 24, Jesus was saying, if you hear these words and put them, if you practice them, you get more. You get more. If those who do not use them, in fact, he says, the little they have. And this is why sometimes, you know, we just think Jesus is just good, just good, just good. But I think Jesus is also scary, because he says, and this is very critical. Jesus said, even the little that you have will be taken away from you if you don't use it. So there's an emphasis on doing. Matthew 7:24, James 1:22 echoed the same thing, that those who hears the word of God and does not put them into practice, they are like a man who observes himself in the mirror, but immediately turned away, he does not remember how he looks like. It's very sad indeed. So what the challenge for us, my brothers and sisters, everyone listening to me today, there is an emphasis. You cannot be a Christian. You cannot be following Jesus and you are not doing something. You cannot. There's no way you want to say it. You cannot be following Jesus. In Mark chapter chapter 4, actually, Jesus called some people to himself. He appointed 12 of them. He said that the Bible says he called 12 of those people. He appointed them that they might be with him, and that he might send them out to preach the good news and to bind demons. So the disciples, as soon as he called them, he sent them out. He didn't say, "Oh, just come and let's sit in church and be having fellowship and enjoy ourselves." We must make things happen. And I know we are doing so in our respective lives. Some of us here are doctors. Some are IT specialists. Some are teachers. Some are engineers. Some are accountants. Some are social workers. Some are homemakers. We are making things happen out there. Why don't we make it happen through the gospel like our Lord has taught us to do? And I'm not saying resign or leave those jobs. I'm saying make something happen. There's an emphasis on doing by Jesus. So we must stop talking. And now is the time. Now is the time, my brothers and sisters, to be a witness for Jesus. Because the world needs it. This world that we're seeing is dying. The same way you came to know the Lord, some people are desperate for it. In fact, they don't even know they are desperate for it. We must be so intentional and so single-minded, like the friends of the paralytic man in Mark chapter 2. They knew that there was no way they can get this guy to meet Jesus. So they, you know, when you read some stories in the Bible, you just think, okay, yes, they just went made an incision on the roof. It didn't happen like that, because when they were doing it, just think about the dust that would be crumbling. They didn't have a crane, so they probably used a ladder, so they could have tripped many times. They could even die, and there was no hat that they could wear. So some, maybe they were more than four. Maybe two of them fell and they broke their back and died, and only four got to Jesus. We don't know. So don't just read it anyhow. But they were desperate enough. And I want somebody to be able to say, like Sister Jackie said today, that you are the friends. You are the one walking alongside them to see Jesus. You are the one walking alongside them to bring the good news. Somebody needs to say, yes, Kunle Adeleke, Aloja Arewele, Buki Adenuga. Sorry, if I mention your name, you are the only, because I'm sharing my screen, you are the only people that can see. So if I don't mention yours, please pardon me. That if they say, some people must be able to say, you are the friend that brought them to Jesus. Just as I'm grateful to the people that made me to see when I did not see for 24 years. And I did not know that I did not know that I was blind. So doing, there's an emphasis on doing. It's not just hearing only, and not just fellowshipping in church only. That is why it is critical to be a witness. And the third one is there's an earnestness that we need. I checked I can't remember what, I did check, actually, but I forgot him because I'm getting old. I checked the meaning of earnestness before it's a phrase that I've heard for a long time. I know what it means, but to describe it, I don't know now. So please check. It just means doing something that you need to do and not wasting time. That's it. So you have a talent, Jesus, because and actually before I talk about that, just being earnest. If we are not earnest, what happens is that we'll be aimless. So we just think, some people have the idea that the church is just there to maybe to have programs once a year, to have a convention. That's what some people is. That's, and many churches are aimless. There's no strategy to it. They are aimless. But Jesus taught us, and you can see that relates to what we have just looked at in the parable of the talent. That if you bury the talent that God has given to you, it's not a joke with Jesus. It's a serious problem. If you bury the talent, and what is your talent? Jesus said to us in Acts chapter 1, he said, the Holy Spirit has come upon you. The Holy Spirit is upon us. In fact, the Holy Spirit is seen as a gift. That's what the Bible says, a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. You have the gift of the Holy Spirit. What are you doing with it? If we're not using it, we have buried it. And that means that parable in Matthew chapter 25 relates to each and every one of us. We must not bury it. And I know that it's difficult sometimes to bring ourselves to be a witness, but we must, whichever way, whether we do it in twos or threes or fours, whether we have a platform where we can have creative ideas of how to do it, we must do it. And that's why it is important to be earnest and to be fruitful at the same time. That Mark 4:25 that I quoted earlier, but just let's hear what Jesus said there. Consider carefully what you hear, he continued. With the measure you use, that's why it's in bold. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken away from them. It's a scary thing. And whether we like it or not, that's the way of the world. That's why you see that the managing director, somebody who is working in an organization who is just, maybe you are working in an organization, you get your salary. So you have to get your own mortgage. You have to get your own car. You have to pay for your own seat. But if you are the oga at the top, if you are the big boss, the company will pay you maybe $2 million salary. Then you have share option. They'll be worth maybe 10 times that. Then they buy your cars, not even one. They buy your cars. And if it's in Nigeria, they'll get you your diesel. They'll pay for your diesel. They'll say your wife needs a car too. They'll do all kinds of things. So those who already have, they have more. That's why I no longer credit card. Because it's my money that they're using to pay JP Morgan's boss. And I don't like that. So no credit card. Because Jesus said it, and even the world, they caught it. Whoever has will be given more. So and he said at the start, says with the measure you use, it will measure to you. So you don't use it, what you have taken away and be given. And if you look at the parable of the talent in Matthew chapter 25, the person who buried his talent, that had one that buried it, what happened? Jesus said, it should be taken away from him. Not given to the person who was in the middle who had two and turned into five, but the person who had five and turned into 10. It was from the little to the top, to be high, to the one who has the most. That is why sometimes, my brothers and sisters, because we're not using it, we forgot what it is to be born again anymore. We will forget that we have power. We will forget that the name of Jesus is a mighty name. We will forget that Jesus said, we'll lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We will forget. And we'll be spending time, Yashika Yama, Toyota Suzuki, and pray for people, Kasabure, Kasatura. We'll be saying, all this, Jesus said, lay your hands on the sick, they'll recover. Because we have not used, we now think it is power. As someone, a friend of mine would say, we think it is muscle. It is not muscle. I'm sure you know what I mean. It is not muscle. It is not muscle that you use to get people. It is authority. So I'm challenging us, don't disregard the Holy Spirit that you have, the power that God has given to us. If anything, we must repent today and take back what has been taken away from us. And I'll say one more thing there on this one. You know, why we must be a witness is because we're called to make disciples and not just to sit in churches. And the apostles, they made the same mistake in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. He says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. They just thought that's all they needed to do. What happened? They had persecution, so they had to disperse. So not just to sit in churches and to just, everything will be on, everything is going well, our fellowship, none of this is wrong. I'm not saying don't break bread. I'm not saying don't pray. I'm not saying don't devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching. But if that is our primary focus, persecution will happen because God wants us to disperse and be a witness for him. That's what happened. They just thought, let's just be doing it around ourselves. I don't even know where they were. Maybe they were in Jerusalem. They were having a fantastic time. But God sent persecution so that they can go and do the business of being a witness beyond their Jerusalem to the ends of the earth. And the last thing, the fourth point, fourth reason and last of why to be a witness is, if you really want to experience the power of God, you must witness. Bob Marley sang "No Woman, No Cry." Actually, it's not politically correct to sing that now. Maybe "No Man, No Cry," I should sing. But anyway, the point is no witnessing, no experience of the power. If we don't witness, so it is when you are witnessing that Jesus in Mark 16, verse 16 says, "He that believes and baptized shall be saved, but he that believes shall be damned." And in verse 17 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick will recover." In fact, it shall recover, which is power, more powerful. When we witness, we experience the power of God more. So we can see what the apostles, when they started to witness, we saw straight away, the blind seeing, the lame walking. Every time, even today, I prayed a prayer this morning, my brothers and sisters, before I came. It's afternoon here now. The Lord, just in our meeting today, Lord, I'm expectant. I want to do something. So that something will happen in somebody's life today. I'm expectant because when I'm a witness, there must be, God must demonstrate his power. And that's what I say to us. That's what I'm going to say to us, my brothers and sisters. Every time we walk alongside people, let's be expectant. Let's expect miracles because Jesus said, this will happen. Let's be expectant. But without witnessing, nothing will happen. Nothing really happens in church. It might not be my theology may not be right, may not be all may not be truly right, but it's really true. Nothing happens in church. It's where we go. And we don't need to go physically. I'm challenging you. Some of us have the gifts. Some of us may need to go. We can use digital, whatever, to preach to people in Dubai, everywhere. We can use that. The last time I spoke, until last week, the last time I spoke in the church in Maryland was 2004. And that's because don't worry about coming to America because I'm not Eddie Murphy, so I didn't want to come to America. But look at what technology has allowed us to do. So I want us to be expectant. Okay, so I've gone beyond the time I wanted to spend on this. So now this is the question time. So I'm going to stop. Okay, before I stop sharing, what is the experience of being a witness last week going forward? Yes, I won't forget. Okay, I'm going to stop sharing so that I can see our faces. So who can share with us anything from last week? You know, we said last week we gave ourselves a challenge to speak to one person about the Lord. So any best practice, whether people truth, ice cream at you when you did, or you might be a phone call. You know, we said last week that we must be the good news to somebody. So two challenges, just that one and another one, and we will close. Does anyone want to share with us? You know, I can say anybody's name. So if you do silent witness on me, I'll just call any name. So let's just do it now gently. I'll call his name. I can say everybody. And even if you log out, I'll call you. Yes, sir.
This week, I haven't been able to share with her yet, but I was able to pray with a colleague of mine.
Thank you very much, sister. That's sharing.
Yes, this is someone that the only relationship I have is professional.
Okay.
Yes, that was.
Could you tell us the process of praying? How did you do it so that we can learn from it? Maybe that process.
Okay, so we work on the same team, and she was unable to attend to some of the things she normally would because I heard she had a personal matter. So I got in touch with her on WhatsApp and asked if she was okay. And she mentioned to me that her mom had a heart attack and a stroke. And so I asked if we could pray, and she said yes, and I did. And she said that she was very grateful. So now I'm more confident that I have an opportunity to share the gospel with her.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, sister. Thank you for that. It's very, very good. Any other? Yes, sir, Brother Aloja.
Mine is also a need, and I hope you can all pray. I have a dilemma, and but I would really need some support. What it is that the Lord has been very faithful in giving me opportunities to meet with people. Some of them, serving different municipal positions, which sometimes makes it hard to just come out with the gospel. So the other Thursday, not this past Thursday, we had a Zoom conference, which was open to people across the nation. It was on courage, the courage for these times. And some of the brethren from our fellowship zoomed in, and they were just sharing their faith in the Lord. I think they did not get the memo, that they just thought it was like a kind of a church meeting, which was, it was good, because some of them were my supervisor, the other directors I work with, some of them Jewish. They were on the call, and I was wondering, how is this, are they perceiving this? But later on, I said, this is an opportunity. It's good. Let them just hear it. I'm not going to apologize to them that I wasn't calling a religious service. And so later on this past week, one of them shared that that space was different for her, that it was peaceful. And she's beginning to think of, those things that matter. So I want to put some names. I'm going to mention some names, and I'm hoping that we can just pray for them. One of them, her name is Diane Cohen. She's Jewish. Another one is Nancy Molina and Ben Molina. They're also Jewish. Another one, her name is Sharon. She's my supervisor. They all got to hear. And I have another friend, Tony Gensley, whose book I'm going to be reviewing. But I also want you to pray for me, for the wisdom and the courage to be able to, that I will just, whenever that time comes, I can just share with them. No need to do any preamble or apologize for, I didn't mean it to be religious. So anyway, I hope you get the point. But yeah, if you can pray for those individuals, I have another, I have some of them here who, they are involved in same sex marriage and everything. But there are people that have worked with me as directors, as board members, and I just feel they're in a dangerous place, and I feel ill-equipped to preach the gospel to them.
So that we won't forget, can we quickly, let's just spend a moment. Sister Jemima, please, if you can pray for these people, let's all spend a moment for 1 minute, and Sister Jemima for about 30 seconds, for Diane Cohen, for Nancy and Ben Molina, for Sharon and Tukinsley, that God, they will have a radical, dynamic, life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus. Let's just pray together, and Sister Jemima will just close. Oh, let me pray. Eyes will be opened to the gospel. Their eyes will be opened, Lord. Prepare their hearts, O Lord, for you. Lord, also pray for wisdom for our brother, O God, our Lord, to know what to say each time, every time, O God. Always be ready to give the reason for the hope that he has. In Jesus' name. Amen. Sister Jemima, please unmute yourself and pray.
In Jesus' name, our God and our Father, we just want to say thank you to you. We want to thank you so much for the opportunities that you give us every day. The Bible says you daily load us with benefits. It's just not food and what we drink or eat. You daily load us with opportunities, Lord, to minister for you. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given to our brother, Bola Oloja. Thank you for Sharon. Thank you for Tony. The Bible says you have come to set the captives free. We're praying for them this morning, that, Lord, they're in captivity. We're praying that, Lord, you will set them free this morning. Thank you for touching their hearts, Lord. Thank you for the finished work of the cross. Thank you because it will be made manifest in the lives of those people. Thank you for other various opportunities you're going to give our brother. Thank you because you will not misuse them. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Wula, amen. Please ask Jemima to pray also, please.
They are still sleeping, sir.
Oh, they're still sleeping.
Oh, okay. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, any other person that wants to share something, any best practice, what they tried last week? Okay, if there's none, the
I
second...
I would like to share, sir.
Okay, go ahead, sister.
I actually went out last week on Sunday with my two kids, Jemima and Keziah. I found out that I fall short. I always, I'm always sometimes in the face of people. Instead of, like, I was going to share the gospel with a particular woman and she was backing up. And it took her like 5 minutes to back up. So I think I should have started from there. Oh, see the way you did it so skillfully. I just went in. I was like, I would like to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus with you. I gave her the track and I was like, what's your name? She just said some other time. Ooh, I was like, I did not approach it with wisdom. I should have started the conversation from another angle entirely instead of I want to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. And I think that's one of the things we probably may need to look into some other time because sometimes it's not, the Bible says we need to be as gentle as doves, but as wise as serpents. But having said that, I don't think what you've done is lost. Nothing is ever lost. If the person took the tract, you never know what will happen. Something will happen one day and they will remember something. So I don't think anything is ever lost. And we should not, in fact, one of these which never allow to affect us is the fact that people ignore us, or there's an English I'm trying to look for, but I can't find.
Rejection.
Yes. Thank you. Reject, Sister Tola. Rejection. So the fact that someone rejects us, so in fact, for many people, is that fear of rejection that's a problem. But I'm sure we'll look into it. Brother Abio. I'm sure it means something. Brother Babs. Oh, okay, yes. Very handsome.
No, that's my full name, Babs Birogba. It's one of my names.
I see.
Anyway.
Okay.
Hello, Pastor. Pastor Badijo. Okay. Badijo. Yes. I just want to share something briefly. Act of love is a work in progress. I think I've shared this with some people before. It's going to be brief. I'm a physician who has worked in various places. The last place I worked, I moonlighted part-time, was in the prison system. And it was funny because when they gave me the options, I had the option of going to California, all year sun, fun, golf, and everything. But I chose a village in Wisconsin with a population of less than 2,000 and probably no Black people, except in the prison system. So on this day, the medical director of the whole system, the state of Wisconsin, called me frantically that there was a gentleman on hunger strike. And when there's hunger strike, everything goes upside down. They have to get a court ruling, out of force feed. I mean, they are like a lockdown standby. They are frenzy, a panic. You have to go. So I went to see the gentleman. And before I do anything, you know, you have to do intelligence, right? Got his name, everything. His name is, well, I will assume is Molina. For some reason that morning, I heard a song about Johanna. So when I got there, I told the gentleman, I said, funny enough, this morning I heard a song called Johanna, your name is Molina. And the guy, he laughed. Because normally, you know, doctors come and they start talking medicine. And the guy noticed that they calm down. And the next thing, the guy said, I'm not on hunger strike, I'm fasting. And the guy started quoting the scriptures. And it made sense. So when he was talking the scriptures, I started talking the scriptures with him. So we started talking about the Bible. We didn't talk about health for about 30 minutes. And the prison guard was like in a hurry, like, you know, he couldn't see, but what's this doctor doing? I have to go. Sorry, my battery is about to go. Anyway, I got this gentleman on my side and we started talking. And he insisted he was not on hunger strike. He had been on it for about a week. He wasn't taking anything. Then he told me about his mom. His mom had just been in an accident, so. I said, let's pray. We prayed. You're not supposed to do that in prison. It's supposed to be neutral, but we prayed. And then I started asking about his family, his sister, blah, blah. We didn't say anything, but we didn't talk about medicine. I checked his blood pressure, it was a bit high. He had lost weight. He had ketones in his urine. So I took a minute off, sent a message to the medical director that the gentleman says he's fasting. Anyway, I told him, I explained to him that in the prison system, everybody goes, they pull their hair out, so, just to calm the temperature, will it take Ensure? They had been telling you to take Ensure, he refused. The guy said, yeah, because of you, I will. And that was the end of the hunger strike. He started the Ensure, and everything went down. 2 weeks later, or 1 week later, I went to see him, checked his blood pressure, was okay. He started talking again. The medical director called me. He said, what did you do? I said, well, I just talked to him, I mean. And that's how I talked to the prisoners, because I don't even call them prisoners. What I tell them is, look, we are separated by zip code. You're a child of God. It's just about judgment and mercy. I'm sure I've done things that could have landed me here. But because of God's mercy, maybe what you did is not even as bad as what I've been doing in the face of God. And so that was my first mistake. I mean, it was good, but it was a mistake. 3 weeks later, they took me to one maximum security prison. That was the most feared prison, even in the United States. I checked the name, because 5 people were on hunger strike. The day I got there, 4 and they stopped hunger strike, just because I spoke to them. It's not about me. It's about something I learned. I learned something when I got into the prison, treating people, that every day of your life, take a deep breath, count your blessings, and then reconsider if your blessings count. If you can count diligently the goodness of the Lord, no matter how bad it is, diligently, I'm saying diligently, not with whining, not with murmuring, not with negativity, you start shouting for joy.
Amen.
I guarantee it. And I did not give to the prisoners. I think they gave to me. I went into the prison system to work as a what did your daughter describe you as, pastor? You said your daughter had a word for you, sent a note to you.
Oh, grumpy.
The last time.
Grumpy.
I went in as a grumpy person. I came out as a very happy person. Everybody can testify. And it wasn't about me. God did something to me through the prisoners. I told them. I said, you guys have made me a better person. I told most of them that they sat with me. They changed my life because that's when I started realizing I was super privileged. I stopped complaining. And if anybody wants to hear, I didn't go there for money. I actually went there because my wife and I were considering doing a federal government contract. I thought I needed some medical experience to do it. And I wanted to test my hands very much on medicine, if I still love medicine. That was the reason. And I went there with all my might. I addressed them as sir. In fact, the first prisoner I met on the first day I started, when I said, good afternoon, sir, what I got, he said, sir, why are you using sir for me? I said, well, that's what I would do if I'm in my own private practice. So I carry the standard of practice. And again, it's not I, it's not me. I still don't know what it is. And I think that has been one of the most phenomenal engagements in my life. The last bit of it is I went in for 3 months only. When I finished my 3 months, the medical director and the head of the nursing appealed to me. They didn't have anybody. If I could spend some more time, I said, okay, talk to the agency, I'll consider. Extended by another 3 months. I said, well, it's time to go. They pleaded with me, please don't go. These guys, they like you so much. I gave them another 3 months. And I said, well, it's time to go. They pleaded again. I said, okay, I'll give you one more month. I ended up doing 11 months instead of 3 months. Then they called me back the next year. And the same thing, they made me do 11 months. And they've been calling me since this year, and I refused. I said, not with COVID. I'm not. I think I will still do it, but I'll do it as maybe completely as a given, not because to earn. And I learned so many things. I just want to encourage people that the act of love, when I say love, true love, true love, not the kind of love that you do for people to see you, the one that comes from inside, I think it is Christ that touches your heart. When you interact with people, they may change. And don't be in a hurry. You just do your own part. God will do his own part. To the extent, the prisoner is successful for lawsuit. They sue everybody. Once your name is on the, because they want to make money, you know, that's their meal ticket. I've been sued 3 times. The first person that sued me, they took it away. When the told me, the lawyers in Wisconsin, when the gentleman saw my name on the lawsuit, he said, no, I don't want that doctor sued. I have the paper. My wife is here. He said, Dr. Babs, I know him. No. He's a very good guy. He said, throw away the suit. Prisoners don't do that. Again, it's not me. Something happened. The lawyers, I'm trying to remember that they called me and said, I don't understand this. We prisoners, they sue whether they're going to win or not. So when they get out, they have money. They don't even care who you are. He said, it's rote. He said, drop it. He said, is that nurse I want to get? She's very nasty. And all the other doctors, I don't want Dr. Ibrahim because he's there, drop it. The medical director, he wrote a note, he said, man, I don't understand what you do. He said, but when I got a recommendation that, well, just give me a recommendation that I worked here. The man came, he drove down from Milwaukee. He said, I don't want you to go. I don't want to write a recommendation that you start going to work somewhere else. I said, well, I don't know. I said, I love Wisconsin, but I cannot guarantee I'm coming back. So the bottom line is, we should use all our meetings as a means to either change lives, to make ourselves better, not for us, but for the glory of God, because it's God that brings the victory. It is God that does it. Again, I'm not there. I'm a sinner, but I'm striving, I'm thriving, I'm trying, and I hope I can thrive in Christ in the name of Jesus. So this is just an encouragement to all. Love, love, and love from the heart. It changes things. I know it. I know it. In prison, people are afraid of prison. I'm not afraid of prison. They are human beings. And it has also taught me to be less judgmental about every other person. The first thing I see when somebody seems to be doing something wrong is not yet a bad person. It's first of all, compassion. It's not that we should be silly and be foolish or we should attend to all things, but it's about compassion, about God, and God forever until we get there. Thank you very much. I'm sorry for talking for too long.
No, brother. I think this is a nice climax to everything. I was going to ask us to share creative ideas of sharing the gospel, but I think you've done it. I think you have done it. And I don't think it could be better put any, it could be said any better. I don't think I have the skills to say it as you have said it. And I think this is the way the Lord wants it. So I'm going to stop, but I noticed that Brother Peter is asking, you know, we've gone beyond our time. Brother Peter says 2 minutes. This will be 2 minutes in Ibadan time, please. If it goes beyond that, I will sue you. Never mind, Brother Birogba, not being sued. This won't be successful. So 2 minutes, quickly.
How do you define 2 minutes in Ibadan time?
Okay.
I'm waiting for that one.
When I mute, you know I've got the power. I will just put you on mute. That's it.
thank you so much. I know we were praying last Friday about God to give our medical staff unmerited gifting, that beyond medicine, that they would just, when the patient sees them, even their disease will fly away. That's what I thank God for that testimony. And just quickly, how I used the, you know, what you told us to do last Sunday. Last week was my birthday. So instead of gifts or things like that, I used it to, wanted to encourage my alumni forum of the love of Christ. So I set up a GoFundMe page and also a Facebook fundraising page for us to, just talking about our school that has been totally dilapidated, is in a deplorable condition. So when my mates call me, I will share them, you know, about what I'm doing and, you know, some of the things that we can do and, you know, why we need to do some of these things. Because our first principal of that school, which was established in 1980, was a believer. And we see the impact of what she did. This was when the school was established, there was no classroom. She used a 504 Peugeot to, as a registration, as our office, as a, you know, the first class was under a bamboo tree, you know. So I was encouraging them that, you know, that was really the love of Christ, that this woman, although she's passed now, but we could see what the seed that she has sown back then in our lives. And some of us have gone to become, profitable members or in our society or wherever we are. So I was using that to encourage people to come together and, you know, do something positive for this school. I know they're waiting for me to reply back to them and to see if I would be honest and, you know, send over the funds to them. So I thank God so far he has allowed us to gather some amounts, which I'm going to send over and, you know, to continue that. So I'm just trying to see that, you know, that was a creative way that I was able to, you know, use in sharing the gospel of Christ.
Thank you so much, brother. Thank you. And just to thank all those of us who have contributed. I think it's a conversation that we can't finish today. So let's continue to look at creative ways. In fact, this might be start a revolution. Okay, Dr. Birogba has given us one. So let's start. Some people might just bake. You can organize a drama around your neighborhood. You can do anything, singing competition. And at the end, maybe just have 5 minutes to talk about the Lord. So Father, we're grateful for the way you have helped us this afternoon. We give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Over to you, sir.
Can you all hear me?
Yes, we can.
Before we close, I'd like us all.
We can't hear you, brother. It's kind of faint.